Good morning and shalom. We are back into this journey as we track in understanding the heart of Paul. Many people love to read the letters written by Paul. Paul has written 14 letters of the New Testament out of the 27 books. That's more than half. And if you're to claim that we understand the New Testament, we must understand Paul. No wonder many people hate Paul. All those who hate Jesus, they also hate Paul. They discredit Paul. And even to this very day, Paul has been discredited. Because once you discredited the messenger, you will discredit the message. There is a close connection between the messenger and the message. Before people buy into the message you are carrying, they buy into the messenger. Now, this is a principle even of the people who sell, even the people who do the hawking. Before you buy things that hawkers bring into our buses, that they bring into our homes, first they buy into the hawker himself or herself. If they don't accept you, they will not accept your message. You're wondering, why is Paul going to such an extent of literally trying to prove himself and to fight back? Has he anything to gain? Let me tell you, Paul is not fighting back because of himself. But as we have already said, it's because the message of the kingdom that Paul brought is tied to Paul. If we don't accept Paul, we will not accept the gospel. Paul knew this. If Galatians would hate Paul, they would hate the gospel he brought for 1.5 years to them. And that is one principle that the enemies of the kingdom, Paul, they brought to Paul. So the book of 2 Corinthians have got three major messages, so to speak. And you have seen that. Chapter 1, all the way to chapter 7, which has been going on right now, talks about I was hurt, but now I'm healed, I'm comforted. And how was I hurt? And how was I comforted? And because of that comfort, I want to bring comfort to you. And Paul says, I can only comfort you by the comfort by which God has placed in me. That's what the passage in chapter 1 to 7 is. Then chapter 8 and 9, he is saying, you Corinthians, become the source of comfort to the Jerusalem church. The Jerusalem church are going through pain and they are going through suffering because of the gospel. They are persecuted because of the gospel. You, if you are comforted by the comfort that I share with you, then finish the work you began by comforting the church in Jerusalem. Then, chapter 10, 11, 12, and 13 of the Second Corinthians, Paul faces the persecutor and he has to deal with him and exposes him. And this persecutor was a team of legalists called Judaizers who would follow Paul everywhere he went. And they would discredit Paul so that they discredit the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, Paul was talking about that he is a treasure, or he has a treasure in a fragile clay jar. He looked at himself and the rest of the church, and he says, you know what? I'm a clay jar. I'm a brittle clay jar, fragile. It can break down. But God has put treasure in me. As I say this, this is by the mercies of God. God has put this treasure in us. And so we never gave up. He talks about how he rejected, how he and such people like Paul should reject all the shameful deeds and methods, you know, of using tricks to anyone, of distorting the word of God, but they are telling the truth before God with very honest hearts. And he talked about how they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, yeah, the gospel could be hidden to some people, but it's hidden to those who are perishing, whom the Satan, the God of this world, has blinded their minds that they cannot believe the gospel of truth. But then he says the gospel, the gospel is there. But for people to understand, is the gospel of the glorious Jesus Christ, who have the likeness of God. And then Paul says, you see, we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as the Lord. And we are his servant for your sake, or for Jesus' sake. And then he finally said, then he said that the God who said that there be light in the darkness, in the beginning when he was creating, he also said, let there be light in our hearts. And that is the beginning of the new creation. The old creation began by God saying, let there be light. And the new creation also began by saying, let there be light. The new creation is recreating a human person. The former creation was creating of the cosmos, of the world as it is. And then that light is shining in the hearts of people. And it is that light that has continued to make us the people of God. And then he says we are like fragile clays containing this treasure. Why? So that for people to know that the power we carry is not from us, but is from God. But then here now, he turns the table or the side and focus on the trouble that Paul has gone through as a treasure, as a vessel of honor. He says, we are hard pressed on every side by troubles. I wanted to figure out what he is saying. This jar of clay, because of what they are in, cannot be destroyed by anything else. It cannot be finished until it finishes the purposes, which God created that vessel. And I want to speak to every brother here. Trouble cannot finish us. Trouble cannot destroy us. Cannot even kill us. We will die when we finish what God has called us to do. We'll die when we finish our purpose here on earth. So Paul says, we are hard pressed on every side by trouble, but we are not crushed. Hallelujah. We are perplexed, but are not given to despair. We are hunted down or persecuted, but God has not abandoned us. He says we are knocked down like the lessors, but we are not destroyed. We are not knocked out. Why? He says through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Now, Paul looks at a very interesting way. Paul's view of looking at trouble and suffering was very different from our views. God give us such a view. Look at what he's saying. He says the trouble that cannot crush us, as he has already described, is on our bodies. Yeah, our bodies are suffering. But why? He says, one of the purposes of suffering, according to Paul, for Christ, is to continue to share. To continue to share in the death of Christ. So by so doing, the death of Christ has continued to be made known. Is the death of Christ not sufficient? It is sufficient. The death of Jesus is sufficient. And he died once and for all. But not everybody who understands the death. So the suffering we go through is not to show that Jesus died, but it is to let people who do not know that message to understand that message. It's not to add anything to the suffering of Christ. Our suffering adds nothing to the suffering of Christ. It's sufficient. But not many people who have seen Christ or known why Christ came, and for that suffering of ours, add to that. It is not for propitiation. It is for proclamation. Is to share in the death of Christ, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live at a constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. So he says, the reason to why we are going through constant danger of death, he acknowledges. Paul is speaking about his intimate life is because we serve Christ, we serve Jesus. So that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So, we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist heard when he said, I believe in God, so I spoke. Paul is saying, why are we speaking and preaching? Because we believe. The same faith that the psalmist heard. Yes, we are perplexed. But the purpose is to continue to show Jesus. Everything through life and death is for Jesus. Through eating and drinking is to show Jesus is Lord, whether we live or die. So we say, we know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. So Paul says, well, yeah, death. Jesus is being preached through our death. And even if we die, that's not our end. We will be raised together with Jesus. Just like the way God raised Jesus from the dead, he also raised our bodies together with that of Jesus. And then he says, all of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be greater thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. What a great way to look at suffering for Jesus. Many of us don't have this perspective to understand that suffering cannot finish us. And suffering in the will of God has got purpose and God's intention. This is why we never give up. So Paul says we never give up. We never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a heavy, great, vast for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So Paul has talked very well about trouble, and it says trouble, we are crushed by trouble, But trouble cannot finish us. God will use this trouble, or God has used this trouble, to make Jesus known. Not that the suffering of Jesus is insufficient by itself, but the suffering of Jesus is extended to the world today of those who do not know Jesus. It is reminding people of what Jesus did, and those suffering would can be able to finish us by any time or kill our bodies. The God who raised Jesus will also raise us and will present us together with Jesus. These troubles are small. The troubles you go through, they are small. They cannot be compared with the heavy weight of glory that they produce. And they are moment, they are for a time. And this moment, and this trouble, they cannot be compared with the glory that will last. And Paul says, therefore, we don't fix our eyes, we don't look at the troubles we see now, but we fix, not fix our gaze on the things that cannot sin. Why? The things like trouble and pleasure that you see today will come and go very soon. But the things we cannot see, which we guess, will last forever. Father, give us such a perspective like this one, to look at trouble as something that can propel your gospel, and that can proclaim your gospel. Help us to realize that the death of Jesus is sufficient by itself, and we are not adding anything to the death of Jesus. We are only extending the results of the death of Jesus to the world that is Christ rejecting and dying. In Jesus' name.